Bing, boom, we rolling. Peace, world, all our upgraders. God bless you, the world's still spinning. This is Upgrade America. I'm Cameron Ra, here with my bro, CJ the
Finishing
Day Slayer.
Yeah.
We out here just chatting it up. You know, talking about current events, but also trying to encourage our fellow Americans to get into the political process, not just to vote, but to actually, you know, write your own bills, use AI, write your own bills, send it to your senators and congress people, take it another step further and run for office if you don't feel there's anybody who can represent you. We got an awesome show for y'all. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, you know, scream Upgrade America from the mountaintops.
Cause, yeah. You
know, we got to get it. But how are you, bro? How's life?
I'm good. Maintaining, man. It's nice and rainy in Florida. You know how we do. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. I will go through the rundown real quick. We're going to talk a little bit about Putin and Tucker Carlson and diplomacy. We're going to talk about space weapons, AI progression, new laws and policies, and then we're going to talk about child marriage, and also, what was the other thing you were mentioning? Something about the banks and assets, insuring assets, or something like that?
Yeah, I want to propose some new laws, new policies about insurance, insuring assets.
Okay.
You can pay the cost of that. So, let's get into it, man. For all our viewers out there, we want to talk about the Tucker Carlson interview with Vladimir Putin. Personally, historically, I think that was pretty cool. Like, to have, what's the best way to say it? We're in a proxy war with Russia, but we're still finding a way to communicate and ask some questions. But what are your thoughts on the interview, bro?
You already know how I felt. So as soon as Cam sent me the video, I was like, okay. And I probably listened to like the first 15, 20 minutes. I was like, this was what the fuck I've been saying the whole time. So I was like going nuts.
Tell them what the fuck you've been saying the whole time.
Say again?
Tell them what the fuck you've been saying the whole time.
That Russia just wanted to be a part of the global community. They got tired of being shut out, essentially, like NATO, with the NATO and Europe and how we're moving. And so that's why they went to China and also with BRICS, because they found a home with them. They're like, okay, well, I can't join with you guys. So during the interview, what I discovered, it was good to hear his perspective, whether you hate him or not, right? But you never hear his side of things. So when I'm listening, go through the history of Russia and Ukraine, which is interesting. I would have to watch another video for somebody to talk about the history as well, to kind of see what lines up and what doesn't. Because, you know, he could be spewing some propaganda as well. So it was very infuriating to see all our administrations dropping the ball with economic diplomacy. A lot of this stuff could have been avoided. A lot of taxpayers' money could have not been spent on this bullshit-ass war. And, like, Cam laughed. He was like, you finally could toot your own horn. And I was like, yeah.
You get to toot your own horn all the time.
Yeah, but I was just pissed off, man, because I was like, the most frustrating thing is millennials on down know how to run the world, I feel like. And because our grandparents won't get out the fucking way because of corporate greed and trying to forever, like, what do you call it, reinforce their legacies, we're basically putting the U.S. in the behind the eight ball while the world is going on without us, essentially. Mm.
And I see that occurring. But I want to talk, you said that maybe a couple seasons ago, you know, we rocking over 175 episodes. It's hard to keep count.
You know.
But like a couple seasons ago, you mentioned that Russia wanted to join NATO. And I thought that was absurd, because I'm like, the whole reason NATO was formed was, you know, to defend against, you know, Russian hostilities, so to speak. And in the interview, he mentioned, yeah, he spoke to Clinton about joining NATO. And like he really wanted to do that, and a couple other joint endeavors, you know, with the West, and he was shot down every time. So again, defer toot your horn, man. Like he wanted to come to the table and was rejected. So I dare say, you know, Upgrade America administration, open door policy, we're always down to talk. But what stood out for me? A few things stood out in the interview a lot, but was the lack of dialogue between Putin and Joe Biden. Like when Tucker asked him, hey, when was the last time you spoke to Biden? Putin didn't even recall because it's been so long. And you would think before you send one aid package, like bottom line, when you hear aid packages, yo, this is money to whack niggas. Like you're killing motherfuckers. Like, so before I send my goons, send money to you know, to hire goons, kill a bunch of guys, I'm gonna send a call. Like, yo, what's up, man? Like, you really gotta come to this? Like, let's do a little negotiation. Give him an offer he can't refuse. You know, but, yeah, that didn't occur. That didn't occur. And we can only speculate, but how you think Trump would have handled it?
He definitely would have made more of an effort to come to some kind of deal, because you know Trump, he loves the deal. That's like his wheelhouse. He's so
excited. He likes to talk on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. He would have talked with him. Even he mentioned it during the interview, Putin. He was like, I have a better relationship with Trump and even Bush. I think it was either Bush Jr.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, he said he had a better relationship with them, as at least trying to, you know, do things. And it was just very disappointing, man. Like, he reached out, and I could see that. But I looked at it as, like, they want to keep a boogeyman, but you got to look at where we're at in 2024. We all need help at the end of the day, like, globally.
Economically, hell yeah. And I want to elaborate on what you said about the boogeyman concept. For those who didn't break it down, it's like we, United States government, whatever, like there needs to be an enemy. One, to direct the rage of the people. Two, for the military industrial complex. And it's just like you had the Soviet Union. For our generation, me and CJ, we're GWAT boys. You know what I'm saying? That global war on terror, that was that perpetual enemy, you know, the fight and keep Americans patriotic. But now it seems like it's right back into the hands of Russia is the common enemy. Or not the common enemy, because it's divided. But I get what you're saying. On the subject of the interview, I think it was a great that it was able to occur. I think governments and private sector, you know, not private sector, whatever Tucker considers himself now.
I guess he's independent media. Independent media. Yeah.
There is room for diplomacy with this. And here's why it's interesting, because Tucker's not a government official. So he's not there like a, he's not like a diplomat or a, or like someone in the chain of command. He's like independent, like you said, but he still managed to open up dialogue with a, you know, I don't want to use the term someone we're at war with, but, you know, proxies and whatnot. He still got dialogue. He got to interject, ask some questions, and even find out what, ask the questions like, yo, what do you want? And try to bring about a ceasefire. And I think that can be leveraged further with Tucker and you know, with other independent media folks in the future. What do you think?
Yeah, and this is something we both have called. Remember, since the CNN visit in Atlanta?
You're referring to the Atlanta. Oh, when we were in CNN in Atlanta. Heck yeah.
What did we say?
Horn, man. It wasn't we, it was you. I asked you, and you were like, man, you said the next 5 years, like, independent media, I'm paraphrasing, is going to take it over. And you look at the reach. You look at the reach from what Joe Rogan has. You look at the reach of what Tucker Carlson has, which, by the way, the interview we're talking about got over 200 million views within, within a matter of days. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole lot of reach right there.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, you know, I'm Mr. Cynical and all that. But, like, historically, CIA, intelligence, what have you, they had a very tight stranglehold over traditional media. Mm-hmm. While we have this notion of independent media, that's just less people to control. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have one of these popular influencers and or independent media people, and they, CIA has their hooks in them, you don't have to control a whole network. It's just one person. So you got to be keep your eyes open for that too. But from diplomacy, yeah, man, like everyone we got beef with, send some podcasters in there and then like ask some questions. If y'all don't want to talk on the phone, then you don't have a middleman.
Yo, so I don't know if he peeped this. So he was going down kind of the history and problems in our country. Mm-hmm. And I think he even referenced, like, y'all can't even resolve stuff with Black Americans in your country. I feel like he said something, or I heard that somewhere.
I wouldn't have been surprised.
I'm trying to remember. I heard him say it somewhere. He's like, y'all haven't even resolved stuff with that group before. Y'all talking about racism. He mentioned stomping out neo-Nazism in Ukraine.
Yeah.
He did mention that in the interview.
He mentioned the Nazis quite a bit. And historically, you know, he was talking about World War II and then post-World War II as well. And then... what did he say? It's just... any common... any seventh grader will tell you... remember we talked about that thing in Canada where they honored the guy who... the Nazi from World War II?
Mm-hmm.
They honored him saying this. Yeah, this guy fought against the Russians in World War II. Well, who fought against the Russians? It wasn't the United States. We weren't quite allies with the Russians, United States in World War II. But we didn't fight them. It wasn't the Allies fighting the Russians. It was the Nazis and the Axis powers. And they're all cheering this guy on because Russia happens to be the common enemy, quote unquote, at the moment. But I don't know. But maybe it all stems from, I don't want to say from penis envy, but that Putin has weapons in space and we don't. Or maybe we do. We're just not talking about it. What do you think?
You and I always talk about this. We always got stuff. We're not so braggadocious about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if one thing we know, America's always going to try to keep the edge. Even if they know somebody got the edge, mm-hmm. they're not going to let them know that they have the edge.
I could see that. And as we mentioned in that podcast that broke the internet, how many of these UFOs are American-made technology. And that we're just using that veneer to keep it top secret. Have you seen the movie Gravity?
You say Gravity?
Yeah, I want to say Sandra Bullock, George Clooney.
I have to watch that now.
It's a fantastic film, man. It's like... I want to spoil it for you, but... so they're up in space, International Space Station, doing their thing. They're doing some work outside, and then... boom, like these satellites start exploding.
Mm-hmm.
Or not exploding in the sense of combustion, but they're destroyed because something impacted it. But you understand they're in space, no friction. So all that's going hundreds of thousands of feet per second, you know. So the satellites that got destroyed end up destroying other satellites. But it was, I believe the Russians did it in, used some sort of space weapon in that film. But that's what is being rumored is something similar is in space right now, nukes or what have you. And the story around it is kind of foggy because it was like they made this announcement about, oh yeah, high alert. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, but we're not gonna tell y'all what it is. And then someone leaked that it was like space weapons, some shit. But what are your thoughts on it? Should we? I know there's treaties that we should not have or cannot have weapons in space, but mm-hmm. you think we should?
I mean, we already created a space force. That's all.
AEF.
Force. So that answers that. We already created Star Trek, essentially.
So you're. We need some revisions with that treaty then. You know. But a part of me just feels like war should be kept terrestrially.
Gotcha.
And I know not everyone's going to feel the same way about how I do, but my understanding of the whole treaty is just like to keep the fighting on Earth. Because it's like, yeah, satellites, so much depend on satellites, and I get it. It's almost like, how can you not have, you know, weapons in space because of the great advantage of strategic advantage you would have? Mm-hmm. Like we discussed ad nauseum, electromagnetic pulses as mm-hmm. one scenario to bring about a blackout for, you know, as a weapon, but something that knocks out our communications, you know, it might not be like, okay, all the lights are out, but the internet could go down.
Yeah.
I dare say in 2024, a catastrophic comm failure of that magnitude would result in a great loss of life and fighting capabilities.
And I guess that's where third world countries or whatever have the advantage. Mm. Everything is more equal when that happens. So we're talking about the diplomacy aspect. So as Upgrade America, what would you do if you're in Biden's position right now?
In regards to what?
With Russia.
For the space weapons?
Well, just all of it. Diplomacy.
Okay, so after listening to the interview and kind of hearing what Putin wants, yeah, you gotta reestablish some new borders, right? And it's like, although the agreements are old, I want to say like it's an old agreement from like the 1600s is where he said he lays his stakes to land in Ukraine. It's still like almost American time frame. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, America's founded in the 1700s. We laid these stakes to these claims, but somebody tried to roll up in here and say, oh, we're taking this for whatever. We're not having that. Even though it's, you know, a few hundred years that, you know, we claimed it,
mm-hmm.
People still gonna fight and die over those lines and declarations.
Yeah. So,
your U.S., were I Biden, how would I handle it? So it's like, bing, boom, right now we just sent like 90 billion?
Is it?
Between Israel and Ukraine? Folks gonna want some bloodletting. They're gonna want to use that ammo and everything when they're gonna feel they got robbed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's like, but still, if I'm the man, I would have the conversation. But a part of me is like, would I want to do it like on a, you know, have Upgrade America or Tucker Carlson or even Joe Rogan, like, mediate, moderate it? Or would I want to have it in private? Because there are certain terms and agreements that you have to discuss in private. But at the same time, the public, the publicity of it would be, I don't know. I think that would be great for the American people, the Ukrainian people, for freaking world. How would you handle it?
Like, you already know, man. We going in. We talking. We getting that shit done. We coming down with agreements. Everything's going to be done right there on the spot. We're not waiting. We're not doing all this shit. We're getting that shit done, like, right there on the spot. So, hey, Ukraine, Russia, U.S., work this shit out. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, then work out another deal with Russia. How can we strengthen our relationship? How can we make it better with us? This shit is old. It's tired. We've been past the Cold War, like, fucking years ago. It's just bullshit at this point. How can we work out trade, lift sanctions, and get some, what do you call it, reciprocal respect, and make sure that nobody, we're going to always spy on each other and shit. We know how that works. But work out other economic terms with Russia to where they're comfortable, like, okay, I'm cool with Europe again. I'm cool with the U.S. All right, let's make some shit happen. And then Ukraine, they just gonna have to take the L, more than likely. They'll be all right, but it's bigger than them.
So the real question is, like, because what you talking about, world peace, and that's wonderful, but how do you deal with the military complexities? Because it seems that they, or they're a hand that is linked to them, steers and drives conflicts, and it's not just in America. Every nation with a defense budget has a military industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you deal with them?
I would say,
and mind you, they have the power to whack presidents.
Who does?
The military industrial complexities, or at least some have alluded to them being behind JFK.
You take that chance as a leader. If the American people see you doing the work, you're forever immortalized. You kidding me? Like,
it's not a matter of that. It's like, there's a diagram that kind of like that I would love to show. There's like a guy trying to fix something, and then he like hits a switch, but then something else breaks. And then he hits another switch, and then something else breaks. So it's like, what I'm trying to say is that peace between Russia and, you know, United States, China, it's all going to be good. That'll be cool, but it's like, something else is going to break. Like those tanks, those millions of freaking bullets and RPGs, they're going to go somewhere, and they're going to bust off because things have been disrupted. So immensely, and if there is no direction for the military industrial complex, like,
convert that into industrial complex, manufacturing, create jobs for Russia, create jobs for Ukraine.
But what do you do with the Boeings, the 52, how do you say, the $1 billion fighter jets and all that?
Like, that's, you still keep those. You're just no longer manufacturing them necessarily. You're just maintaining them.
I see. Well, I would love to go down that route. It just seems like, I don't know, I feel like we would need aliens to fight just so there's no fighting somewhere else. But
it comes back to the other argument we always have. Well, I say debate is, should we pull out of our global bases anyway? What purpose does it really serve anymore if everybody's going around us anyway?
Well, I do think Russia could play nice and maybe even join NATO. It's just, statements like Russia has no borders, meaning and also them alluding to they want Alaska back or something like that. Like, I think these nations would conquer the world. Nations like China, and I think they too would conquer the world. It's like, and what I mean is like, we are all hunky-dory, but then they become insider threats. So I think we need to vet a lot of our former adversaries before we, you know.
I mean, what's the difference? All the doors. They're spying on us anyway. We know we get attacked cyberly by China every day. Mm-hmm. We know Russia's always spying on us. They both have embassies on our land. What's the difference? Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I just feel they're going to get a lot more information, but I suppose that would work both ways.
Yeah. And at least in the meantime, we can focus more domestically. We're not worried about so much out there because now we've got agreement. The whole world sees you make this part public. You sit down with Russia, you sit down with China. We all sit down, we're going to work out a new agreement globally. You bring Iran to the table. It's radical, but what choice do we have? Because you're looking at the erosion of the U.S. Like, we got to get back in this game.
I think we got to have a powwow with Iran and Israel before we...
Because they were this close to the Middle East and everybody between Israel and Saudi Arabia. Is working out them agreements before that shit popped off.
How do you think they would react when they get the bomb?
What you think? When?
Iran. They seem to be on course to getting their.
You know how I feel about that. If everybody can defend themselves, it keeps everybody accountable.
Yeah, I hear you now. But wow, Israel's committing genocide. And everything, they may feel, how do you say, they may need to extend their ability to defense to Palestine.
So we would have to work out different agreements with that. I would bring all the powerful Arab countries together with Israel. Hey, y'all need to work this out. We're cutting off aid. All this is going now to Palestine. And we're working out agreements with all your neighbors and your enemy, Iran, so you now have economic security in the region. We are no longer contributing to that bullshit no more. So you got a choice to make. And all them other countries gonna see that like, damn, the U.S. is willing to sit down with all of us and work out an agreement? And it's going to put Israel in a hot spot because now you can't dodge that shit because we're trying to resolve two things at one time.
I feel you. Thing is, my understanding is Tel Aviv is up in riots. Not quite riots, maybe like protests.
Mm-hmm.
But quite a few people are calling for Netanyahu's removal and his administration's removal. So we're going to see how that plays out. But I totally agree on the diplomatic aspect. We need to talk, Mark. We need to talk. Before we talk about AIDS and aid packages and all that stuff, we need to talk. So, like,
This ties into that one video I sent you. It was a Middle Eastern dude. I don't know his name.
The guy I was talking about who was on TikTok.
Yeah, so he highlights, this ties into the Russian conversation. So when I watched that, I was like, damn, everything we've been talking about to upgrade America, he's highlighted from a Arab point of view. And he was talking about how China operates, you know, how Asian countries operate and how the Middle Eastern countries. He said, yo, we care about that money. We're not worried about that other shit. And he was like, the U.S., that's their problem. They're still trying to be the big boy on the block and all this kind of shit. Like, that shit is big. So we got to work around it. In the meantime, internally, we're so fucked up. Basically, we're imploding like Rome.
Yes, I totally agree that with that. Thing is, I feel like, yeah, America is imploding with her own fuckery. However, I think it's being exacerbated by external forces, i.e. Russia and China. And I would even take it a degree further with racial division and things of that nature, even with the identity politics and all that. Because it's like, if America is ripping itself apart from a racial angle, from an identity angle, from a left, from the right, it's just so much tension. But yeah, it's once more, you know, the fate of the world is riding on this year. We gonna see how it comes out on top.
You wanted to talk about AI progression?
Yeah. I'm going to dive into that real quick. So, OpenAI, this is the company who was formerly, like, non-for-profit. Now they're, like, I don't know, for-profit, creating a open-source artificial intelligence model. They didn't release it. There's an animation tool called Sora, and it's revolutionizing AI animation because, one, it can produce very coherent videos. A lot of the other alternatives are produce some very nice videos, but there's a lot of glitches in them. This one is producing very smooth animations, and it's also doing it for up to a minute. This is going to threaten Disney, like Pixar, a lot of industries because of how powerful it is. My concern is, you know, NASA had the green screen like way before podcasters were using it. Mm-hmm. My concern is that there's aliens now, or at least governments are confirming that there's aliens and or interdimensional beings, what have you, among all types of UAP, unidentified area phenomena, aka UFOs. But there's a lot of, it's like we got this powerful technology that can create very convincing images. 90% of the world, when they see a UFO, UAP, what have you, you're probably going to see it in your screen. And whoever is moderating it, i.e. like if it says CNN or something like that, that's going to magnify your trust and belief. You're going to see, I already see, mad videos on the internet, TikTok, X, where folks are saying, UFO, oh man, but they Photoshop some bullshit. And now it's going to be on levels of magnitude greater with this technology. So believe nothing of what you hear, half of what you see, do your due diligence, and hang on for 2024, it's going to be great.
But we talked about having a technology bill of rights and creating standards for deep fakes and like have a standpoint of, hey, this is AI created. Hey, this is like, we have to usher that in now while it's still early. So now when somebody sees something, oh, okay, that's not real. Got it. So I don't know how you can go about making sure everything is like legit, but
Sora's the app that I was telling you about through OpenAI. They're putting watermarks on there.
Okay.
But it's nothing for someone to crop that out, or even to get their own animation you know, tool like that. And it's just gonna get crazy, man. Like, we're talking about it's an election year too. Like, it's gonna be very, very interesting. And like, as you mentioned, as far as legislating it, yeah, the watermarks, but then some sort of digital tag.
Yeah.
Trace this thing and watch how it moves. I don't know, but it's very interesting tech.
Yeah, because I've been seeing the AI fakes with celebrities like get wild. So the one with Taylor Swift, they had her like naked out of the stands and all this crazy stuff. So
yeah, there's
wild.
They did a gangbang. One for that. She really got upset about it. So that was another potential. I heard some chatter on that from the psy-op community. And as we mentioned, this is a very powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
Tool that we don't have legislation around. But if you have a very powerful person who has been slanderized by one of these tools, a very powerful person who has a very close relationship with Joseph Biden, like, that is how that's one of the ways they can get regulation onto these tools and technologies. I'm hearing a lot of talk about digital ID, internet passports, and things of that nature. And the days of the Wild Wild West are coming to an end.
Pretty much.
It's kind of creepy because it's like the days of all those Anon posting behind, you know, pictures of Scooby-Doo or whatever, like those are coming to an end too. So the folks who want to go on Twitter, X, what have you, and say a whole bunch of racist stuff behind a little fake account, you may, but it's going to be tracked to your... they roll this thing out, it'll be tracked to your physical ID.
Yeah.
And it's... you can't fight the tech, man. We can just suggest best practice how to regulate it.
Yeah. Not only that, other countries already been pretty restrictive on what their citizens can watch and do on the internet. We'll be probably one of the last ones, to be honest, us in the West.
I could see, yeah, a lot of pushback on it in the West. I heard proposals to build a second internet. And there's practically, there is the dark web. I just believe it was like a lot of stuff would just go to the dark web. And
probably
then people would have to find alternate ways to hop on networks. But yeah, we're in it. It didn't seem like it in 1999, but now in 2024, we're in the sci-fi age, man.
Yeah. Like,
brain chips, dudes putting chips in their brains. There's been some talk that like most of the monkeys that got the brain chips died. And then it's like, here we're talking about, you know, a select group of people who want to become cyborgs voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
The involuntary brain chips is what I'm concerned of. Where they're like, yo, no, people's thoughts are just dangerous. We need to monitor thoughts and everything. And it, yo.
So, there's three group of people that instantly popped in my head when you said involuntary. Prisoners.
Mm.
Homeless on the street.
Mm.
Low income.
Hmm. I see it more than that. So if it's... here's what... what's funny is, like, things that apply to prisoners apply to the military. Prisoners are government property, and so is the military. So I could totally see it being done on prisoners, but maybe even on the military first, particularly with people with high security clearances.
Mm-hmm.
But... it's already the end of humanity, right? We're the pure bloods from Zion and all that, with no chips, no DNA edits or anything, man. Like, we're in the age of the cyborg, and it's weird, but I guess I gotta come to terms with it. But while we're on the topic of the chips, it's like, okay, so you're in, I don't know, you've been to Arizona?
No, I haven't.
So you're in Arizona, right? Mm-hmm. The phone stops working, and you gotta operate and get around without it. I'm sure you could do it, mm-hmm. but I think you would be somewhat, not delayed, but like, are you accustomed to using your GPS and stuff? Like, when you get around, or you just bust moves?
I use it mainly for traffic reasons, just to see what traffic was. But yeah, if something really unfamiliar, yeah, I'll pop it on. But usually I put it on for traffic reasons.
But even the access to quick access to communication, new information, that's, I don't want to say we're dependent on our phones. Mm-hmm. And our phones give us an advantage over people who don't use smartphones. Like, for instance, I don't know, a nuke goes off in freaking Kiev. I'm going to find out on X before someone finds out on the newspaper. So I have that immediate access to information. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going with this is, I'm saying, like, how we are, I don't want to say dependent, but we use our phones. That chip, that thing in your head, that computer thing, mm-hmm. it's people without it are going to be at disadvantage.
At a disadvantage or an advantage? Because
at a disadvantage.
I look at it as you have more flexibility and adaptability versus the person with the chip. Because if that malfunctions, you probably out of there. Or they send a signal, you out of there. Like,
and you're thinking in the worst case scenario. Okay. We're talking about for humanity striving, and this thing has had the best quality assurance testing and is working perfect. And you're talking about a whole group of individuals. They're going to have these chips who are going to be multiplying square roots and all this crap, like, in their brains while we're trying to make little computations on our phones or what have you. Like, they're gonna be freaking computers, man.
Yeah,
sentient computers. And it's disturbing, because it seems like something out of a book, but then it's like, these folks are gonna acquire more wealth, more political power, and mm-hmm. it's like, it's one thing to be ruled by human psychopaths, mm-hmm. it's another to be ruled by cyborgs who are gradually disconnecting with their humanity and viewing us as less than whatever the heck they will become. But we got all dystopian and all that, but this is real. It's out there. This is happening, like, in real time. But what type of new rules, laws in general, would you propose?
Well, we shared a video of this adult male marrying like a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And you and I were going back and forth about it real quick. And we were like, it's disgusting, because it's like, how do we still have child marriage laws on the books in the United States when we condemn when we condemn other countries for doing that, but we do the same shit here? So I created a law to end that in Florida.
That's a thing in Florida?
Not necessarily. I think 16 with parents' permission. But I made sure to kind of clear it up, make sure it's at least 18. I mean, obviously you would want 21, I feel like, to make more of a decision, but 18.
Nah, 18, an adult can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
In my eyes. not so much with the alcohol, you know, pump the brakes on that, but
so I just,
if you want to destroy your life, go right ahead.
Nah, so I just made it aware they gotta be 18 to get married, no exceptions. And
so while you're on 18 for marriage, would you ever consider lowering the voting age, like in California they mentioned 16?
Nah, I think 18 is still good because you're pretty much out of high school.
I feel you.
Yeah, 16, you still really young. Like 18 is young as hell. We know.
16, they'll vote for like a pop star or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not with what's going on, because believe it or not, these kids are very aware, but they still don't have the mental capacity, really.
Not all of them, I agree. They can wait another 2 years to vote.
Yeah, that doesn't. But you got to create online voting, because that would entice them to vote even more. As we've been talking about, that gets rid of gerrymandering and all that, because if you vote online, like we've been saying for years,
it's this election, again, the lack of trust is going to, people will demand it. We're not going to get it for 2024. But man, if y'all ain't not asking, not requesting, if you're not demanding blockchain voting after this next thing, then I don't know what to tell y'all, America. But we gonna make it happen.
Thank you, Brickin. Oh, okay, we good.
Yeah, you froze up for a minute on my end too, but we back at it.
All right. Nah, you go ahead, continue.
Oh no, I was just saying we need that blockchain voting. People are gonna demand it. But I totally agree on your proposal for the age of 18 for marriage and stuff. How they even got to it, I don't know, but it really seems like the pedophiles are winning in this political arena.
The Puritan laws, you know, from the Mayflower and the Pilgrims and all that's where all that shit stems from. But go ahead, you're right.
Oh no, I did not know that. That's where it originated from, but it's interesting.
Yeah, because
and I don't want to advocate for it, however, it's like there's mention why the age for to run for president was the age of 35. And I guess in that time, you know, people died much younger, and age of 35 was relatively, I don't want to say it was old, because now I feel like I'm old, but like people were established at the age of very established at the age of 35. With that, on that notion, they got married much younger. And then someone broke it down onto why. It was because you had to have, say you're on a you have a farm, right? And you want slaves. Like, you gotta have, like, well, your children are your slaves. But, like, say you get married at the rightful age of 20. The window for, and I'm no biologist, but my understanding is the best, the child birthing window shrinks at age 27. After the age of 27, the increase for birth defects and how you say whatever the fuck, miscarriage have you, increases at 27. So the whole birthing age was, they had babies younger. So
gotcha.
But hearing you mention the whole Puritan thing made me consider that. But,
well, those two are tied together. What you just mentioned, I've heard that reasoning too. And you got to think, most people's great-great-grandparents, if you look back, they got 12 kids, 12, 14 kids.
Yeah, my grandmother had nine kids.
Yeah. So, Yeah, so it's in line, but we just gotta basically upgrade it at this point, because we're not, shit, if anything, we're not even having two kids. You know, we're not replacing, you know, what do they call it? We're at a birth deficit. We're not as bad as like Japan and Italy and what's the other country?
Yeah, Japan was really bad.
Yeah, I think it's Japan and Italy. Those are the two that stand out a lot. Where
Italy?
Yeah.
Huh.
They're not reproducing fast enough. Like, they're not having kids like they used to. Japan's the same way. And then they got a bunch of elderly people in their population because they're living so long.
I'm curious if Italian is due to the culture, like the religious culture, and not wanting to have kids before marriage. If that is a stem, and more people, or at least in this day and age, are reluctant to get married. So I'm curious if there's any correlation to that. Japan, I'm not too sure. There's something to look into.
And the thing that this is where immigration is an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have so many immigrants here, they reproduce at a high level.
Mm.
So essentially our birth rates maybe raise.
Yeah, you're breaking up on me, bro. Ever bring it back. Uh-oh. Defender Control. Rather, CJ the Day Slayer. This is Defender Control. Do you read me? Day Slayer. This is Defender Control. Over. Can you hear me?
Sure. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I hear you now. I saw your mouth moving. I didn't hear anything. Cool. But whatever you said, I totally just lost because you were frozen up on my end, bro.
Oh, damn. I was talking about how immigration is an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So in the U.S., most immigrants have multiple kids. Even though maybe Americans are not having as much, the immigrants are. So it keeps our birth rates like at a better level than countries that don't allow immigrants, like Japan, like Italy. Like if you start looking at the countries that had the birth defects, is the ones that don't allow mass immigration.
So then that's perhaps the Palestinians should evacuate to Japan.
That would be crazy.
It would be crazy, but this world is 2024 has been freaking, it's been pretty freaking wild.
Yeah, and then another thing you said was the attitudes with marriage and the attitudes of even having kids. Like, you gotta think, the generation below us, they're not really, it's like whatever. They're like, it's expensive out here.
Yeah, I'm noticing that too. It's the values of the newer generation is about themselves rather than, you know, taking care of another little person. And would that lead to humanity's demise? I don't think so. Because there's...
It's always a workaround.
Thing is, I agree, there's always a workaround. Technology is coming. Robots doing big things. And I would rather a natural population decrease than one from war. So if that's the way that, I mean, let's be real. If it gets to the point, we're short on humans, and you know, bring on the clones. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But there's another rule that I wanted to discuss real quick is, while the notion of asset insurance, I'm talking about for housing, for cars, things of that nature, more or less anything the bank owns, and that you are making payments,
mm-hmm.
or someone who owns the freaking title, they should have to insure it, or at least pay a portion of it. Because mm-hmm. let's be real, poor middle class, we are getting squeezed like a tube of toothpaste.
Yeah.
And it's like, insurance, just car insurance, is like a quarter of what the car payment is, sometimes more.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why am I paying for this? Oh, in case someone hits my car, that I can repair the car back, in case I don't make payments on the car so the bank can get it in the same shape. Well, fuck you. Pay your mm-hmm. own goddamn insurance. And, like, you know, it's beneficial to them, so they should participate in it too. And I think mm-hmm. with housing as well. Like, yo, you own the house. If I don't make my payment and I get foreclosed, well, guess what? Like, you get the house. It's in your best interest to keep it in good standings. So mm-hmm. there's got to be a negotiation with that. And we're coming into the age of self-driving cars and yeah. things of that nature. We're going to have to start rethinking insurance anyways. You know, and it might as well start there. But a rule, law, what have you, that I would propose is that there is some partial coverage from the mm-hmm. institutions that hold titles. That's all we're asking for.
I wrote a law that would help at least with car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a Florida safety driver's law.
Okay.
The reason why insurance is so high is because of the amount of accidents we have, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah. So you gotta think though. Like, Florida is a driving state, right? We don't have mass transportation like that. It's bubbling, but we don't. So what I created was, I've noticed a problem just on a low level. When people get their driver's license, they don't go through defensive driving. They don't go through, even taking a driver's test is very low skill. It's barely a requirement. That's not even counting.
Turn signals on.
Yeah, and that's not even counting immigrants to get their driver's license. I don't even feel like they really learn how to drive properly. So
yeah.
You got all those mixtures on top of tourists to come here. That's why the insurance is so high for cars. So if you make everybody mandatory defensive driving, mandatory driver's course, change the driver's license exam. If you implement all that, then I think you will see a decrease on the car insurance. You'll see a decrease in accidents also, while providing more mass transportation at the same time.
I just think you should give the death penalty for people who do not use their turn signals. That solve everything.
So, yeah, I'm gonna submit that bill.
Yo, man, and I gotta salute you for that, bro. Cause like, just your consistency. Again, this is what we're supposed to do. This is how the system is designed. It's not like, and I said this before, but you don't just vote for a guy, put your feet up on the desk and be like, yo, he got me for the next 4 years. No, you gotta keep. They don't know everything. You gotta submit your ideas. You gotta submit bills. And then, you know, have them represent you, because that's what they are representatives. It doesn't mean they have to come up with all the bright ideas. It means their job is just to get those ideas into law. You can come up with these ideas and then bing, boom. There are countless bills that have been drafted out of out of the Senate and Congress that have become laws. Like, we can do this.
Yeah, and all our bills are pretty much one page.
Fast. Right.
Can you find your number 3?
My cookie jar is counting.
That's what's up. Anything else you want to describe? I meant to talk about?
Yeah, I suppose just to end on a positive note, there's so much going on in the world. For me, it's fun. I get off on the mayhem. But, like, what I wanted to just leave on our viewers is that everyone has their definition of what a real man is, or a real woman. And, you know, like, you're never going to meet all those definitions. And my encouragement to you males, because I speak to our gents, is that, like, yo, because you don't meet their definition, don't beat yourself up. If you're really going out there, you're focused on your goals, you're focused on your family, then, yo, you're a man in my book. Like, you're never going to check every single box. You're not going to hit 100% on other people's definitions. If they don't want to call us men, we'll be tigers. That's all I got to say.
I propose this challenge to the ladies.
What's up?
Take ownership of your happiness in regards to dating and mating, right?
Fast.
So we're in an age where you can approach a man. You can signal if you're interested in a guy. I'm not saying you got to take him out on the first date or whatever, but eye contact, a smile, a wave. That's all you have to do. That's it. And go after the men you want. That way you don't have to complain, all these guys hitting on me. Nah. If you go after the man you want, more than likely, he's going to return the same energy, and then there's no loss. Even if it don't work out, you at least, I went for what I wanted.
You remember,
so I'm supposed to the ladies.
And I think that's great advice. You remember Noxious?
Yeah.
So Noxious was a humongous club in Germany, in Ramstein, right? But what I liked about Noxious was, like, you go in there, you get these glowing bracelets. So I want to say the green meant, like, you was single, and you was, like, ready to mingle. And that was for guys and girls. The blue, I believe, was you were in a relationship. And I forget, there was one more color. I don't recall what it meant. But it kind of let you, like, yo, you kind of knew, like, okay, I'm not going to mess with her because she's spoken for. But you kind of knew people's, social status or relationship status from a glance. What I'm going with this is that they have wedding rings. I believe they should have single rings. Rings that let the opposite sex know that, yo, you're single and ready to mingle. And perhaps this will facilitate, you know, relationships in the future. Who could say? But,
oh, another tip for ladies is apologize. That gets you a lot. If you learn how to verbally apologize, not sexually apologize, verbally apologize, that will go a long way.
Are they physically capable of doing that?
Huh?
I said, are females physically capable of doing that?
Yeah, I've encountered that, actually.
Nah, I'm kidding. I was being...
I was like, I've actually encountered it. The other thing I've noticed is you're not going to get everything, like you were saying earlier. You're not going to get everything you check off on your list for your guy, right? So if you get at least 80%, be cool with that.
I like how you just put that there, though. You should set a passing grade level. Like, okay, you're not going to get 100%. You know what I'm saying? But then you should set your standards, set a grade. Maybe you want to go 75, maybe, you know, pass with the C. Or, you know, if you want to set your standards high, be like, nah, it got to be 80. He got to be 90. And maybe if you really, really feel like holding out, waiting for unicorns and all that, maybe go a little 95, 99.
Yeah.
But you're never going to get 100%. But that, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, so... that's it. You know, that's the love section with Upgrade America. We just try to make it out here and make it better for people, because it's not really that hard.
Real talk. Any Black history insight for the...
Oh, man, yeah. Man, I had something on Twitter. I'm slacking. I was supposed to have this.
Oh, no, yeah, you had something on Twitter. It was fire, man. So the first independent Black community was established in what? 1738.
Blue. Oh, yeah, that one. that 1 minute video I sent. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was in Florida, by the way. It was the first.
Yeah, it was like most
self-sufficient. Say that again, Moses, or was it Moses?
Yeah, it was like most. It was weird. I've never heard of that. Let's see. Florida. Let me see if I can look it up.
But that was a fun Black History fact for me that I found, because I suppose there's someone who's saying, oh, why can't Black people be sufficient or self-sufficient or something like that? And then the gentleman came back with the, you know, with the history, said the first independent, self-sustained Black city was like in 1738 in Florida. And the name escapes me, but, you know, Google the year, you'll
So it's in, I guess, St. Augustine area.
Okay.
It's a park now. It's a state park.
Interesting.
So it's Fort Mose, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, free slave settlement, historic site of free slave settlement. So I like that video because, like you highlighted, people always say, "Oh, what." You know, why can't Black Americans be successful? Da, 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 da. I was like, we've been sabotaged every time. We've been sabotaged, like, actively. So, yeah, that's why.
But you see it in modern history as well. And I don't know, man. It's gonna come to, you know, to having this independent state, I feel, eventually. But it's like, just the tension in America, it's like, I don't know. When that time comes, it comes, you know, everybody buy land, and then don't forget security, because that's where Black Wall Street fell.
Yeah, absolutely. All those Black neighborhoods fell with security. That was the one thing. If everybody had fought back, I think it would be a different story.
I think it would be different as well if you had, like, granted, they had planes. They used aerial attacks in Black Wall Street. But still, if you had it fenced in, brick walls, you know, you have this massive city, but you have walls, you control entry, everything of that nature. I don't know, but it may come to that. It may not. You know, who could say where the world is?
Could you imagine if we time traveled right before that popped off, and we were like security experts, and instituted all that shit?
Claymores everywhere at the surface area.
Yeah, that would have been fire.
Literal.
I just thought of that. I was like, oh, that would have been so dope.
I mean, it would be a great short story.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
I don't know. There's all these Mandela effects. People are saying that time travel is causing them and everything. Do you recall the Fruit of the Loom having a cornucopia?
Yeah.
You remember it? I remember it. It's like, I guess there's this big thing they're trying to say it never had it.
And yeah, it did.
Don't go down that rabbit hole, man. Seriously, you're gonna go down the Mandela effect rabbit hole. You're gonna be like, no, I know it's there. I know it, because I know it. But then there's, even the company has made statements saying, no, it wasn't. And folks are alluding that to some sort of, what is it? Forget the technical name for it, but some sort of effect of time travel. And shit getting changed. Then there's another theory that the PSYOP, oh man, I know we said we're going to end, but this is like, You heard about all the potential comm faults from the, you know, solar flare, EMP, whatever the heck. Talking about, I was supposed to say this in the AI portion. 96% of all written content will be created by ChatGPTC or another AI, let's call it, in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay. Right?
Think about that. 96%. I mean, like, only like 4 people are actually literally writing shit, like newspapers and articles. It's all gonna be written by AI, and humans aren't gonna do it. This whole through the a theory was that someone wants to gradually delete things, history, quote unquote, and see what can be changed.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, we see how they do Black history all the time, so it don't surprise me.
But just imagine the internet goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know, let's just call it for 30 days. And then it comes back up, but just mass shit is gone. Gone or changed. And it still seems so innocent, like the Fruit of the Loom missing a cornucopia, and no, it was never there. Y'all crazy. But then it's like the same thing for saying like Martin Luther who?
Yeah.
Like, what are y'all talking about? You know what I mean?
I mean, but they're actively trying to do that shit now.
I say that to say that it seems that we're heading towards neo-feudalism, where you had kings, monarchs, all that type of shit. But the way the monarchs held power was because they controlled the information through church, because people couldn't read or write. But now it's like, whoever controls AI controls the information, and the rest of us are on the outside not knowing what the heck is going on. But this is Upgrade America. We do our best to decode it. We don't get it out to you. Forgot. Disclaimer. It's all entertainment and, you know, speculation and all that good stuff.
And thought exercises. And, oh, the last thing. I figured out why Putin moves the way he does is because Russia lost 27 million men in World War II. So you're talking like generations of men gone just like this.
Yeah. So 27 million. Wow. And I believe Russia has like 150 million people, or maybe 108 million people.
Something like that.
But so, I know he's passionate about it. Yeah, I see it now. Yeah, particularly with the Nazis, because the Nazis were killing Russians too. So it's like, I get it. At the same time, I admire him, but I don't trust him.
What's the Russian saying? Trust but verify?
You know what I mean?
I always love that line, man. Trust but verify. I love that shit. I was like, yeah.
It's logical, and it seems to be the Russian mindset. They're very logical folks.
We should start sharing a foreign quote, like those proverbs, like every episode from different countries. I think that'd be cool.
Be something to add into the show.
Yeah, all our international upgraders, salute. We appreciate you for listening.
Peace. Yeah. Do you know we've been rocking with y'all for about over an hour? Enjoy it as always. Just sharing our thoughts. Want to give you some value as well as how you can leverage this democracy that we have and get a part of. Be a part of it, I guess. But life is beautiful. The world's still spinning. Enjoy it. Time is precious. We'll talk to y'all later. Peace.